The China Beige Book's November flash data shows the economy barely treading water, and a lot of this is tied to some of the restrictions and lockdowns with the COVID-19 strategy in China. And let's get to Derek Scissors, the chief economist at the China Beige Book. Derek, we have to talk a little bit about these comments from the outgoing vice premier, Sun Chunlan, because these are some of the first comments that we've heard changing policy as a result of the virus being less dangerous than before. So it seems like that's the cover here. They're talking about Omicron as it becomes less severe. A change in policy is only natural. And she has been, she has been synonymous with the ferociously tough stance that China has taken on this virus. So interested in your thoughts, whether or not this is something that sticks or, you know, part of the policy that really does fluctuate a lot in China.
Well, I do think if we think about COVID policy in December, it's going to be different than COVID policy was in September. So I think that's fair, and we're getting signals of that, and there are lots of reasons for it. The question is more, how will it be different enough to help the economy? The very early returns in November, the answer is no. The economy was quite weak in November. That's even compared to a weak October or a fairly weak November of last year. One of the reasons in our survey was given by firms that they had rising COVID cases. So, you know, one of the questions is, well, maybe it's the restrictions that are the problem. But, of course, if people are sick, as we know in this country where we don't have the same restrictions, it affects, you know, economic activity. So is it COVID zero or is it COVID? But either way, the economy was weak in November, and considering COVID cases are likely to rise, there's a risk of it being weak in December and January as well.
Set of GDP quarters, next set of GDP numbers coming out of China.
Yeah, those are going to be bad in reality. I don't know. We had a lot of people, including in the Chinese government, saying the fourth quarter was going to be better because they didn't really like the third quarter for obvious reasons. On the ground, we have two bad months in. We have no change in trend at the end of November. This includes the official PMIs. It's not just us. I think the fourth quarter is going to be poor. Maybe they can at that point say the first quarter of next year will be better. But the next set of GDP numbers, if they're accurate, are going to be quite weak.
And how much is the housing crisis keeping people from getting out and spending?
Yeah, I mean that actually the spending side from the government, the loosening of fiscal policy, at least with regard to housing and monetary policy generally, that might eventually help. There's certainly different credit conditions now. Credit conditions have loosened. Right now, it hasn't hit yet. We're still in the situation of everyone trying to recover from the damage in housing, both on the producer side and the consumer side. It may be that government action to bolster the market will have an impact, maybe not in December, but in January or February.
Yeah, you say you're seeing some signs of life in the credit markets. Can you tell us about what you're detecting?
Well, you see, it's always worrisome when firms borrow more because you don't know whether they're borrowing because of opportunities or they're borrowing because they really need the money. But you are seeing a pickup in borrowing, so either way, there's more interest in that on that side, and costs came down. So we had a period where firms did not want to borrow. We kept talking about stimulus, and the firms didn't want to borrow. It just didn't work, and one of the reasons was high cost. So both the quantity of borrowing and the cost of borrowing have eased in November. That's not going to have an immediate effect. It wasn't dramatic, but is a change in direction for credit markets.
How serious of a problem might deflation be going forward?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Everyone's focused on, well, they're losing COVID zero and there's a stock market rally and this will help the economy, and we don't see that yet. And, you know, at some point it will. But until then, we have weakening prices across the board. That's producer prices, sales prices, wages, et cetera, in our survey. And it's getting to the point where there's the potential for not just disinflation, but deflation. So there's kind of a race going on with economic weakening versus what we think is going to be improvement at some point next year. You know, which is that improvement going to hit before we get into a deflationary situation?
You made a point earlier about it's all very well to exit COVID zero, but then, you know, people call in sick and that affects productivity as well. But, you know, what are the implications for the rest of the world in terms of supply chains?
Well, I think the long-term implication of looser COVID zero, and remember, a lot of people thought COVID zero was going to loosen after the National People's Congress next March, and so it was going to happen in April or May or something like that. And the long-term implication, you know, should be regain trust in supply chains, not immediately, but it will happen. The short term, I think you still have to worry about Chinese supply chains. COVID is unlikely to get better in China, whether COVID zero is still in place or not, during the winter months. And so I think the next several months are going to see tough supply chain conditions, even as you can look forward to maybe, hey, the second half of next year, you know, we should have a better partners in China.
Derek, as someone who's watched China for a long time, how surprised were you by the protests that erupted over the weekend? And I know they've gone away pretty quickly. That's the nature of things sometimes in China. But it did send a strong message. Do you think that message is in any part the reason why we're seeing some modest tweaks to the COVID policy?
I definitely think it's part of it. I think you kept not having, as you just said, we now have a senior official who's associated with COVID zero saying, oh, things are different. You kept not having that validation at the top end of the leadership. You know, there was all this talk and rumors and people making comments, but the top end of the leadership did not weigh in. I think when you add some political stress here with we want these protests to go away quickly, let's throw – very standard for the Communist Party, throw protesters a bone. You're not giving them exactly what they want, but you're giving them something to pacify them. So I do think the protest added to the pressure such that you have senior leadership now saying, we hear you. We don't need to keep this policy exactly the way it's been in place.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. So a lot to unfold here going forward. Derek, thanks very much for being with us. Derek Scissors, chief economist at the China Beige Book.